Big party after that.
We did last time. Okay, we have got a few years left. Okay, page 996. Okay, with the last thing we were finishing about tefillin. So we're up to Pasuk Yutes. Okay? But the Torah says you have to tie for a sign on your hand and a sign between your eyes. And by the way, because it says Taitafais, but Rashi says early in Chumash, Tat in African is two, and Pais is two. So Taitafais means four. That's what a hint in the Pasuk is, that the head tefillin, because it says Taitafais bein einecha, between your eyes, it should be Taitafais. So Rashi says, before, earlier in Chumash, that Tat is two, and this is two, so it's four. Okay, next Pasuk. Pasuk Yutes. Okay? V'lemadet tameisem es b'neichem, and you have to teach it to your children, the daber bam, to speak in the mitzvahs of Torah, b'shivtcha b'veisecha, when you're sitting in your house, u'v'lechtcha v'aderech, and you're traveling on the way, b'shachbacha v'kumecha, when you sleep and when you get up. This is two mitzvahs over here, by the way. This is the mitzvah of learning Torah. V'lemadet tameisem es b'neichem, you have to teach your sons Torah. And then it also speaks about b'shachbacha v'kumecha, when you go to sleep or when you wake up. Now that teaches us, by the way, we're going to go to the easier thing first. The easier thing is that when you go to sleep or when you wake up, that is when you have to say the Shema. You know, there's a biblical mitzvah twice a day to say Shema. Once in the morning, once at night. Right? Now.
One time in the Arabic, no?
That's at night, no? That's the night one. Before bed is not the mitzvah of Shema. The mitzvah of Shema is Shachris and Arvis. Now, women are not obligated in the mitzvah of Shema because it's connected to time, because the Torah says twice a day. So it's a mitzvah connected to time. Now, B'shach B'cha literally means when you go to sleep, when you lay down, over Kumecha when you stand up. And therefore it's interesting, B'shamay took this pasuk literally. B'shamay says, the night Shema, you must lay down when you read it. Because the Torah says b'shach b'cha, when you lay down. The morning Shema v'kumecha, when you get up. So according to b'shami, you have to stand by the morning Shema. That's what b'shami held.
Stand.
But Beis Hillel says no. That's not what the pasuk means. The pasuk means in the time when you go to sleep and the time you wake up. So it's not actually laying down and standing up. In fact, the Gemara says Rab Tarfon, who was a disciple of b'shami, once laid down and read the Shema, and he almost endangered his life because of that, whatever happened. And the rabbi said to him, you deserve it because you didn't listen to Beis Hillel. Because you acted like Beis Shammai, even though Rabbi Tarfon was a disciple of Beis Shammai. So because you acted like Beis Shammai, so you deserve to be punished that you almost died because of the Krishna. Now, L'madet ha-meisem es b'neichem, from here the Gemara learns out a lot of dinim as far as teaching Torah goes. Now, it says in the Pasuk, Ledaber bom, to speak. So Rashi quotes in the Gemara, that as soon as a child is able to speak, M'sheyasu latinik ledaber, aviv melamdei, the father teaches him, Torah tziva lanu meisha. Whenever he gets older to understand the letters, then you have to teach him how to read the letters. And the Gemara says, Rashi quotes, and whoever doesn't is like you're burying them. Because it says, L'man yirbu yimeichem, right afterwards, it says you should live long. The Torah says, teach it to your children and you'll live long. Which means if you don't teach it to your children, you're not going to live long. It's like Rashi says, Kilu kevre, it's like you buried him. You buried the son.
So this is, why the discrimination, son and kids to get...
Okay, now this is the whole question in Aloha. A woman is not obligated in the midst of Talmud Torah, because the Torah says, "V'limadet tameisim es b'neichem." B'neichem, your sons, not your daughters. Therefore, the Gemara says, "Whoever is obligated to teach is obligated to learn." If you have to teach your sons, that means the men have to learn. Right? The ones that are not obligated to learn because they're not being taught by the, they're not obligated to learn. Nevertheless, women should not think they don't have to learn Torah. In fact, there's an argument in the Mishnah if women should be taught Torah, not be taught Torah. The bottom line is, today, according to all Paskim, according to all opinions, women have to learn Torah. First of all, even then, when the women were not obligated to learn Torah per se, they are still obligated to learn all the laws they need to do as a religious woman. Okay? Which means, all Hilchos Shabbos, all Hilchos Pesach, all negative mitzvahs, kashrus, mikveh, Shabbat, all the mitzvahs that they have to keep. And by the way, that's enough to learn 10 lifetimes, by the way, to keep you busy. But technically, if a woman knows all the things she needs to know, she knows how to keep kosher, and she knows Shabbos, and technically, she does not have a mitzvah to learn Torah. She knows it. That's it. Men, even if they know it all, have a mitzvah 24/7. Men, mamash have a mitzvah 24/7 to learn Torah. The Torah says, will allow you to eat and to sleep and to do business and to do whatever you need to do. But a man has an obligation of learning Torah day and night. Now, nevertheless, it says in Halacha, women can still say the bracha of learning Torah. Even though they're not obligated in it, they can say the bracha of learning Torah. Why? Number one, because they're obligated to learn Torah, the mitzvahs that they need to keep. And it's a mitzvah, therefore, to learn. And secondly, it says, women merit by making the waiting for the kids to come home and throwing the kids out of the house to learn and the husbands out of the house to learn and all that, or they're encouraging other people to learn Torah. That itself, they get schar. They get reward for learning Torah. So women get schar for learning Torah. In fact, as we know, years ago, the whole girls' school movement began in Poland from Sarah Schneer. Very few families that the girls actually learned Torah. The mothers at home taught the kids. Everybody, the women were home those days. The women taught their daughters everything they have to know about Yiddishkeit. How to kasher the chickens and how to kasher the meat and everything that they needed to know. It came in Poland close to 100 years ago, Sarah Schneer, this lady. She saw that mothers were not teaching the kids, the mothers were not staying home, the kids were not learning. So she fought with all the Jewish leaders, by the way, that they should, and she started the Beis Yaakov movement, and it spread like wildfire all the places now. And the Rebbe is very much for girls' schools and learning with girls Torah. They have to learn Torah because otherwise they're not going to know it. They're not going to know it because you don't learn it from the home anymore. Right? So,
but the fundamental.
It's like, interestingly, years ago, all the girls knew how to kosher a chicken. Yeah. Today, nobody knows how to kosher a chicken. Nobody. Because you buy finished chicken, the kosher already. It's kosher already. Or kosher meat. Whoever koshers meat today. It's done by. Huh?
Cooked already.
It's already cooked, yeah. It's already eaten. It's already eaten for you also.
Easy job.
So therefore,
Cambridge more.
Yeah.
But the fundamental of the religious is mother in home.
Yeah, the mother used to teach the kids.
No, that is is fundamental. You know, if the mother is not religious, the kids not coming religious.
It's a lot to do with the mother.
Yeah,
correct.
That's
now, what does it mean? The Torah says like this. It says, to speak in Torah. Yeah? So the Mefarshim asks, the word ledaber bum is extra. Teach it to your children. Why does it say to speak in them? And they learn an interesting lesson from here. Besides the fact, others from bring down, that the word bum, beis mem, beis stands for bereshis bara lekim, the first pasuk of the written Torah, and mem is the beginning of the Mishnah, Me'ei Masai Kerenes Hashma Ba'arvin. The first Mishnah of the whole oral Torah begins with a Mem. The Beis is the written Torah begins with Beis Bereishis, right? So it says, L'daber Bum. Bum stands for Bereishis, written Torah, and Me'ei Masai Kerenes Hashma, the oral Torah. That's why it says Bum. But the Mefarshim explains something else. L'daber Bum mean it's not only important to teach him Torah. The Daber Ba means to speak in the Torah language, meaning nice language, proper language, no foul language, no, you know, nothing like that. You have to teach him, they bring down, you have to teach him not disgusting words. And not only that, the father needs to teach them that they shouldn't do anything. No, this is for the parents. That you shouldn't do anything improper in front of the kids because that's what they learn. That's what they learn from example. So it says you have to speak nicely. L'daber bam, it should be speaking nicely. That the kids should learn that you speak nicely. You don't curse and you don't yell and you don't scream and you don't do all those things that parents always do.
Rabbin,
what?
While saying Shema, should we emphasize on the word bam?
No.
Does it need to be emphasized on that?
Another thing.
Why? I mean, not especially, not the...
Why Shema Bishuri, two times a day? Because this is, they say, about Allah Had some Torah. Why they say Shema should be read two times a day?
No, because the Gemara says this parsha that we're reading, Shema also, Vohafta, Shinanto Menachov Dibartabam, Shivtchov Veisachov, Lachchov Ederech, Vishachov Bochov Kamechov. So because Shema is the essence of Torah, Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad, so therefore the mitzvah of Shema, the Gemara learns out from this pasuk, B'shach B'chav V'kumecha. When you go to sleep, meaning at night, and when you get up.
So only
it means the Torah also. The Gemara in fact says, you have an obligation to learn Torah by day and by night.
So if we say only Shema is enough, not the rest of the...
Tefillah?
No, the rest of the paragraph. Just Shema.
No, Shema Yisrael, no, you have to say the two paragraphs. Shema and Vahayim Shema, it's part of the mitzvah Shema. Yomer, the last parsha, is not so much parsha Shema, it's more because, Ani Hashem Elokech Moshe, it says, Yes, Chemeret Mitzrayim. It tells us about going out of Mitzrayim. So that is that why you mentioned it that twice a day. Because you see it's Mitzrayim. But the mitzvah Shema is the Shema and Vayim Shema. In fact, in the mezuzah, in the tefillin, we have four parshas. Yeah? In the mezuzah, is only, as we'll soon see, Shema and Vayim Shema.
That's it.
You don't have the other two. Because the other two only speak about tefillin, not about mezuzah. The only two places in Chumash the Torah speaks about mezuzah is in V'ahavta and Vayim Shema. So in the mezuzah, you only have two parshas. Also written on one parchment, folded from end to beginning, the whole process, how it has to be written and folded, but we'll soon see in the next part about mezuzah. No, but that's the mitzvah of when you go to sleep, when you wake up. Okay, then it says like this, Uchsavta ma mezuzah is pisach v'yisharach. You also have to write it, meaning the parsha of Shema and volume Shemaya, on the doorpost of your house, u'v'yisharach on your gates. So the mitzvah of mezuzah, okay, is on the houses and on the gates. Now, the Gemara says, it doesn't mean only on the front door. A mezuzah beisecha, mezuzah actually means the doorpost. In fact, if you notice, even by this coming Parsha is by. Hashem told him, take the blood and put it on Alamashki Val Shteya Mezuzahs. Okay? In Hebrew, by the way, I know we call mezuzah the mezuzah, but mezuzahs is the doorpost. And the Torah says, Uchsavtam al mezuzahs, plural, on the doorposts of your home. Now, you have to put a mezuzah on every doorpost, okay? And because then you remember the name of Hashem, you see the name of Hashem, and outside the mezuzah you have a shin dalid. I should have told him to bring down a mezuzah. Shin dalid yud, because that stands for Shomer Dalsis Yisrael. Even though it's the name of Hashem, shin dalid yud is shakai as they say it, but it also stands for Shomer Dalsis Yisrael. In fact, the Gemara tells a story. Rabbi Yehuda Nasi was very good friends with Antoninus. He was the emperor of Rome. And Reb Yehuda Anasi used to learn with him. There was an underground tunnel between Antoninus' house and Rebbe's house. Antoninus, the emperor, used to go to Reb Yehuda Anasi in the middle of the night to learn. Eventually, they say he converted to Judaism. But Antoninus once sent Rebbe a big present. He was very rich, right? Rebbe and Antoninus, two wealthiest men in his time. Sent him a lot of gold, you know, a very expensive present. And Reb Yehuda sent him a mezuzah. Reb Yehuda Anasi sent Rebbe, sent Antoninus a mezuzah. He says, so what are you this? I send you this big present. You're sending me this little thing. I'm like, come on, it's not fair. So Reb Yehuda Anasi told him that this little mezuzah is something that the king himself is standing outside the door protecting the home. So he said, this is worth more than all the gold and like he says over here. So Rebbe said to him, you send me something that has a value. Okay, so it's a big value. But I'm sending you things that's infinite value. And then he says to him like this, you sent me stuff, you sent me gold, I need to protect it. So it cost me a lot of insurance. But he says, what I sent you is what protects you. And he gave him the, in fact, it's an interesting story. When Uncleus was the nephew of the Roman emperor. Yeah? So Uncleus was a guy. Targum Uncleus. Uncleus was a guy. And his uncle, who was the Roman emperor, said to him, I want you to go out into the world and I want you to go and make business investments. And he told him you should buy, this is what the Gemara says, he told him you should buy something that nobody appreciates. Because one day you'll become very valuable. So Uncleus went out into the world and he found out about Yiddishkeit and he became a Jew. He converted. When his uncle heard that he converted, he was furious. The Roman emperor hated Jews and now his own nephew converted. So he sent an army to get him. So when he sent, not an army, he sent a bunch of soldiers to bring him back. So the Gemara says that they started talking to Uncleus, and Uncleus so convinced them of Yiddishkeit, they all converted. So the Gemara says, the uncle sent another group, and he said to them, don't talk to him at all. Just don't talk to him. Just bring him back. So they came to Uncleus, we're not talking to you. Okay. So they were taking Uncleus back, so he put his hand on the mezuzah and kissed it. So they didn't know, like, what's that? So they made a mistake. They asked him, what's that? So he told them that by you guys, the king is in the inside, and the guards are on the outside protecting the king. By the Jews, the servants are inside, we're inside, and Hashem, the king, is on the outside protecting the Jews. So the Gemara said, they all converted. So his uncle gave up. He said, forget it, let him be a Jew. At least we won't get so many more Jews. So this is the preciousness of a mezuzah. And they actually could, but Uncleus, this is the uniqueness of a mezuzah. Now, mezuzah, by the way, is, if you look at the word mezuzah, okay, it's zoz maves. Zoz means move, maves, death. Okay? Mezuzah protects a Jew. In fact, the Gemara says about mezuzah, Hashem yishmar tzeicho ve'yecho me'atav adelam. The mezuzah protects, we learned this when we're learning Veschan in the first parsha. Mezuzah protects a Jew whether they're home, whether they're not home, they protect the Jew wherever they are. And therefore it's important to have kosher mezuzahs. Like we discussed when we were learning the story with the Tzvas, with the seminar, with the school over there. When a person has kosher mezuzahs, then Hashem protects the person. But the Torah says mezuzahs, meaning it doesn't mean both doorposts of one door. Because, in fact, halachically, if you put one mezuzah on each side of the door, you get a sin. It's bal teisiv, you're adding on to mitzvahs. You're not allowed to add mitzvahs. It's one mezuzah per doorway. So what does it mean, mezuzahs, plural? It doesn't say mezuzahs. It says mezuzahs. Because every doorway of the house or any gate needs a mezuzah. Now, in order the criteria what needs a mezuzah, number one, the room has to be a decent sized room. It has to be, I'm not learning Hilchos mezuzah, but just practical for what's here. It has to be 4 amos by 4 amos. 6 feet, I'm speaking language, practical, 6 feet by 6 feet. That's the minimal size of a room that needs a mezuzah. In addition to that, a mezuzah needs 2 doorposts, but it also needs what's called a mashkif, the lentil on top. If you just have a doorway, sometimes into your backyard, you have a gate, yeah? So you have 2 poles, you know, 2 mezuzahs, but no mashkif on top, no door lentil on top, so that doesn't need a mezuzah. The criteria of a mezuzah is, it has to be 10 tefachim high. The room has to be 10 tefachim high, which is 40 inches high. Okay.
4 feet?
No. The size of the room has to be 4 amos by 4 amos. That's 6 feet by 6 feet. The height of the room that needs a mezuzah, and that's it, you can have technically a tree house. And sometimes kids build in the backyard, there's little things. If it fits the criteria of 6 feet by 6 feet and 10 tefachim high, it needs a mezuzah.
Only 40 inches?
40 inches high. At least, if it's more, it needs, you know, for sure.
Uh-huh.
What?
What if you had, like, a little house within a room that's not connected to the whole house? Would that also need a mezuzah?
If it's a door, if it's a room, yeah.
Like
if it's
a little house in this room, like if there was like a
sure. Why is it different than a room in a room? But I give you, you know, sometimes you go into office buildings, yeah? There's a big floor, then you have cubicles.
Mm-hmm.
But those don't need a mezuzah because there's nothing
not
on top.
Not
if there's a door, now another thing. According to many opinions, if it doesn't have a door, if it's just a doorway, you don't need a mezuzah. 1 second. There are opinions that say you don't need a mezuzah. Some opinions say you still need a mezuzah. So therefore, the halacha is we put up a mezuzah but without a bracha.
No.
The only time you make a bracha on a mezuzah, again, if there's a door, not only a doorway, but an actual door, plus the room is 4 tefachim by 4 tefachim. Obviously, bathrooms and animal stalls, I mean, those things don't need, because they're not to be respectable places, so they don't need a mezuzah. But any respectable room, yeah, that's not a bathroom and not a bathhouse or something like that, needs a mezuzah. Garages need a mezuzah. Garages, a room, whatever it is. But if somebody in this...
Sauna.
What?
How about a sauna?
Sauna is a bath. It's a bathhouse, so you don't need. But a regular room, you need. Now, for instance, you have you have a bedroom and a walk-in closet. Yeah? So, logically, if the walk-in closet is 6 feet by 6 feet, then you need to put up a mezuzah. If it's not 6 feet by 6 feet, then halachically you don't. Their opinion is they should anyway, but halachically you don't need a mezuzah there. Now,
what about the archway?
You need
okay, so an archway is also, you have the walls. Yeah, how's an archway go? Oh, no movement, please. Okay. You have an archway, so you have walls, 2 sides, right? Mm. And then it just goes up, right?
Yeah.
Now, that going up is the lentil on top.
Yeah.
That's the mashkif.
Yeah.
Now, what's interesting though about archway, the mezuzah has to be put. Where on the door? You put the mezuzah here, yeah? Let's say. Where? Where do you put the mezuzah?
About 2/3 of the way up.
So it says you put it at the bottom of the top third. So let's say this is 10 feet, let's say. So you put it, it'll be 3 1/3. 3 1/3, so you put it that the bottom of the mezuzah is above 3 1/3 feet from the top. Okay? You could put it higher, but it has to be more than a tefach off the top. It has to be more than 3.5 inches off the top. If you put the mezuzah mamish by the top, it's not good. You have to lower it. Okay? The best place is the bottom of the top. But sometimes you have an interesting thing. You have an archway. What?
It has to be more.
If it's within 3.5 inches at the top, you have to take it off. Mm-hmm. Okay, sometimes you have an archway that it starts going, okay, this is the wall, and then it starts, you know, going like this, but not very high up. So when you measure the bottom of the top third, where do you measure from? You don't measure from the arch. If the arch starts on top of this, you know what I'm talking about? The arch goes on top of this. You measure this is the wall. So you understand? So a lot of times, the mezuzah is going to be very low. Because this may be, is as long as it's more than 10 tefachim, as long as it's more than 40 inches. So let's say this is 48 inches, and then the archway starts. So it could end up being 10 feet or 8 feet, whatever. But then you start the 10 tefachim from the straight part of the wall. And another thing, people make a mistake also. A mezuzah cannot be below the bottom of the top third. Right? You can't put mezuzah, if this is where it belongs, you can't put it here. So a lot of times people think, oh, in the kid's bedroom, the little kids, how are they going to kiss the mezuzah if it's too high? So they make it low. The problem is, the purpose of mezuzah is not to kiss it. The purpose of mezuzah is to have it in the right place. So if they put it low, it's pushing not a kosher mezuzah.
And what happens if someone sells a house, or by someone you see a hotel or whatever, that the roof is so high that the mezuzah would be up there and be like, you know.
So what happens if you have a 20-foot door, doorway? You have a lot of houses over there. That way. Big. Then it's an argument in halacha. Some poskim write, you still put it at the bottom of the top third. A lot of poskim, this is the way most people hold today, you put it shoulder length of the person then. You put it shoulder length of the average person. But that's only if it's like, you know, 15, 20 feet up. Not if it's
normal,
10
normal.
Feet or 12 feet. Then you put it at the bottom of the top third. And I just want to tell you something. If you measure the wall, like if you'd measure there, yeah, you'd see the bottom of the top third is much lower than what you think it is. The third of the door. It's something that eyes trick you. You have to, the proper way of doing it is to measure it or approximate it. This should be at the bottom of the top third. But this is what the Torah says, even on your gates, which means even if there's a gate, not a house, if you have a gate that fits the criteria of a mezuzah, you know, two mezuzahs with a lintel on top, even though it's going into nowhere, going into empty space. But if that's your gate, then you need a mezuzah there. A lot of driveways, you know, they have, the car goes through the driveway and the side of the driveway, there's like an archway, right? Those need a mezuzah. You have to figure out how to stick it on because it's usually cement. But Alpidin, it needs a mezuzah because it's a door, it's a gate. It's not a door of a house, but it's Alpidin. The Torah says, Bisharach, it's the gate. They also would also need a mezuzah.
When you say the bottom of the top third, is that the bottom of the mezuzah there or the top?
The bottom of the mezuzah should be a little bit above the bottom of the top third.
Thank you.
No, you don't put the top of the mezuzah. The bottom of the mezuzah, if this is the top third, so the mezuzah goes here.
So if a goy wants to put a mezuzah, can...
Are you allowed to sell a goy mezuzah?
The
whole discussion in Halacha Leperel, they bring a proof from the Gemara that we just learned, that I just mentioned. Rabbi sent Antoninus a mezuzah. Antoninus was a goy when he sent it to him. So there the Halacha wants to prove, they know, the poskim talk about this. They say that because Rabbi sent Antoninus a mezuzah, you're allowed to send the goy a mezuzah. But that's only if the goy understands you have to treat it respectfully, you can't throw it out in the garbage, and it has to be up. You know, you have to...
Don't take it.
So if you believe that the guy will do it, as a rule, they try to avoid it, because, you know, you don't know what the guy's eventually going to do. They might move, and then they'll end up in the garbage. You know what I mean?
If one post is shorter than other posts, how they measure it?
No, but it depends on the post on the right side.
One of them posts here, one post here, they put it...
What happens if you have a room? Sometimes you have a room, there's a post on the right, and the wall is just a flat, straight wall.
Yeah. So what do you do?
So then halacha is, if the post is on the right, where the mezuzah goes, so then you put it. If it's on the left,
you don't need it.
Then you don't. It's a lot. Listen, the mezuzah is tons of love. I'm just talking general things about the mezuzah, where you put it, how you put it, whatever.
Rabbi, did you say the mezuzah goes in the bottom mezuzah should be in that third?
The bottom of the top third, yeah.
Top.
If this is the bottom of the top third,
it should be higher.
Mezuzah, well, just too big of mezuzah. Mezuzah goes there. It doesn't go below the bottom of the top third. Goes. Now, there's another interesting thing. You ever see a mezuzah you put diagonal?
Yeah.
Yeah, you ever see a mezuzah put diagonal?
Right?
And a lot of the Sfardim don't. They keep it straight. Straight. Yeah? Why is that? Because there's an argument between Rashi and Tesis. If a mezuzah should be this way,
straight.
When the Torah says put a mezuzah on the door, maybe it means this way.
It doesn't seem direction.
One opinion says this way.
Okay.
One opinion says this way.
Is it because the walls were thicker there?
No. The question is, put it on the mezuzah. The Torah doesn't say how. So one opinion says you put it horizontal. One opinion says you put it vertical. So what do we do? We compromise. You put it at an angle. That's the reason why you put a mezuzah at an angle. But Sfardim don't, because the Sfardim should paskin, like the opinion says, you put it straight.
Straight because we are straight with Hashem.
You are straight with Hashem, yep. I mean, mamish. So why do you need a mezuzah then? You know, you should be yourself a mezuzah.
That's what I
think. In fact, that was Kedach's question. Kedach's question was, bayis mali Sfardim, a house full of Sefer Torahs, do you need a mezuzah? So Moshe Rabbeinu said, yeah. Korach thought Moshe Rabbeinu was going to say no. And that's why he started laughing at him. Because if two parshiyos of the Torah is good for the room, if the whole room is full of Sefer Torahs, well, hundreds of Tefishah, it should be good. Moshe Rabbeinu said, no, that's not the halacha. But mezuzahs, again, like we said before, halachically, they should be checked twice in 7 years. Preferable, it's brought down every year, should be checked. The post can bring down. Should be checked with the. But again, you only make a bracha on a mezuzah if it's a door. If you're putting up mezuzahs where there's no door, you put it up, but you don't make a bracha. And the mezuzah has to be firmly another thing, because it says you have to. The bracha is ligboa mezuzah. So ligboa means to establish kavua. It has to be properly. If a mezuzah is hanging, let's say you put in a nail on the top. And you don't put a nail at the bottom, so it's, you know, hanging. Not kosher mezuzah.
I have a problem.
What?
My mezuzah is fixed, fine, but the cover for it keeps falling off.
Put it back. I get a different cover.
I'm trying to.
Whatever.
Why they have some problem, they say you have to check the mezuzah. What's the relation with the problem? What's the reason? Is it Kabbalist or something else?
No, it's based in halacha. Because mezuzah, like we said, is zaz mavis. Yeah, mavis represents not only death, any problem. So, and it's remarkable when people were checking the mezuzahs, they had a problem with their eyes, and they were told to check the mezuzah. They found the word einechem, something wrong with it. Or something with their feet, a lot of people show, v'lecht chavaderech, something was wrong. There was a. So it says in Sfardim that Rambam writes you don't put up a mezuzah for shmir or all that. But you put it up because Hashem said so. But Hashem also said that certain mitzvahs have certain protection to them. Right? Zoz mavis. Shaddai, right? Hashem watches the doors. So there is a segula in a mezuzah for protection, for health, for problems. There's some great tzaddikim. When people came to them with problems, they would tell them, check your tefillin and mezuzahs. They would open. And many times they would find
something
wrong. Yep. They tell a story that somebody once had an issue, they wrote into the Rebbe, and the Rebbe said, check your mezuzahs. Mm. So they brought the mezuzahs to a sefer. Mm. He said, they're good. So they wrote back to the Rebbe, the mezuzah is good. So the Rebbe said, have somebody else check it. And again, they found that it was good. Finally, the Rebbe said, isn't there anybody who knows how to check mezuzahs properly? And they found out what was wrong. It was impossible to tell. But they found out who wrote it. And they found out the din is like this. Mezuzah and tefillin have to be written kisidran. Kisidran means in order. Because if there's something possible in a mezuzah, you can't just fix it. In a sefer Torah, if a letter rubs out in a mezuzah, or a letter is split.
You have to change.
Yeah? A letter is cut in half, let's say. Even tiny amount is cut in half. In a sefer Torah, you could fix it. You just put a little ink and it's fixed. In tefillin and mezuzah, you can't fix it. It's puzzle. That's it. Why? Because mezuzah has to be written in order, in sequence. You can't write Yisrael before Shema. Okay. You have to write Shema, Yisrael, Hashem, okay. So if this letter is not kosher, and now you're fixing it, so you're writing the last letters before this one. Because this one you're just making it kosher. So it's called Shulei Kisidron. So he found out that the Sefer that wrote the mezuzah was very from, but he was illiterate. Before he wanted to write Hashem's name, he wanted to go to the mikveh. But let's say there's 10 Hashem's name in the mezuzah. So he didn't want to go 10 times to the mikveh. So what did he do? He left spaces for Hashem's name. And then he went to the mikveh. And then he filled in all the 10 times. So the mezuzah is not kosher because it was written not... It was written not in the proper order. Then you have to. That's why it says you need to buy mezuzahs from you know, Yirei Shemayim because it's.
How would Rabbi
know? That's what you know. People, how you know? Not me and you don't know that. But you know, a mezuzah. You buy a mezuzah, you know, and you tell you you could buy 30 mezuzahs, $180 for a mezuzah. You can get the cheaper ones. So they said. You know, you tell a guy, man, you need mezuzah. Oh, it's so expensive. 20, 50, let's see. Even to tell a guy $50 mezuzah, what are you crazy? $50 mezuzah. You have to think for a minute. Yeah? The parchment, by the way, you know parchment is very expensive. Okay. Parchment that we're over here is very expensive. Number two, you have to figure it takes to write a mezuzah because you have to be very careful. You make one mistake at the end, the whole mezuzah is not kosher. You know what I mean? You need to be very careful when you write a mezuzah. So let's say it takes for 2 hours to write a mezuzah. Yeah? Or even if they write it 1 hour. So you need, the parchment costs money, the ink costs money, this, and the guy's time is money. So $50, the guy worked 2 hours plus the parchment. What did he make? I'm like, come on, well, he has to make a living too. You know? So, if you buy an expensive mezuzah with good parchment and good writing and the guy does it carefully and write, so that's why mezuzah costs what it costs. Why do tefillin cost today? The Rolls Royce tefillin today are close to $2,000. You want to buy the real nice mohodedika tefillin, real beautiful tefillin, it's $2,000. You know, when a kid becomes bar mitzvah in Chabad, we buy him Rashi and Rabbeinu Tam. $4,000 for it, huh? You're dishing out $4,000 just for the, forget the party. Just for the tefillin is $4,000. That's beside the suit and the hat and the, and everything else that goes along with it. You know, whatever. So I'm saying, people say, you know, look at, I showed you the boxes here. Yeah, the material, the way it's, the raw material is all leather. It has to be, it's all handmade. There's no machines. It's handmade. You have to make, you know how much the boxes cost? Just the leather boxes. The head tefillin, the head tefillin, the boxes inside like I showed you. It takes time and money. It costs a lot. They don't make a lot of money on these tefillin and mezuzahs. Because it takes, push it a lot of time. And by tefillin also. If you make a mistake, the whole thing's no good. Because you have to write in the proper order. So it's, you know, it's expensive. But that's the mitzvah. Safta ma mezuzah b'isacha. But mezuzah helps. B'chal mezuzah is a skula. The Gemara says whoever has mezuzah on his door and tefillin on his head and tzitzis is guaranteed not to sin. Because it protects the person. And not only that, l'man yarichun yamecha v'yimei v'necha.
You heard that the cover of the mezuzah should not be metal. Is that
that's right? A pi Kabbalah.
What?
According to Kabbalah, that's our custom. We don't have metal cases for mezuzah.
But when you are...
Because, why? I'll tell you why. Because, as the Gemara says, there is not allowed to be any metal on the mizbeach. And the mizbeach, right? So the Gemara says, the mizbeach was made l'harich yomim shaladim. And Basil wore metal was made l'katzel chayiv shaladim.
I'm sorry, can you translate,
please? No, it says, and the altar in the Beis HaMikdash should not have any metal. No metal touched it. If any metal touched any stone, that stone was disqualified. So the Gemara says, why? Because the mizbeach, the altar, was made to lengthen the life of a person. It forgave the sins, the sacrifices. And metal is made for warfare, which is made to shorten the life of a person. So Hashem says, on the mizbeach, which is made to let, you don't use things, materials that are shorten the life of a person. Here it says, l'man yibu yimeichem v'mei v'neichem. The next pasuk says, the purpose of mezuzah is to let you should live long. So therefore, Kabbalistically, we don't use metal, not that it's not kosher, Kabbalistically, we don't use metal as a mezuzah cover, because again, it's the same concept. The purpose of mezuzah is to lengthen the life of a person, and the metal is shortening the life of a person.
So, if you're putting it outside and you need to protect it from the rain or the water...
Metal's not the best to protect it, by the way.
No?
No. They have mezuzah covers that are better, more practical. But it's more... Metal can also rust and, you know... It gets stolen also, by the way, if it's silver.
Okay.
And then say you're not allowed to. I said, our custom based on Kabbalah is that we don't use metal covers for mezuzah. What?
Mezuzah, Ashkenazi, Sephardi, Chabad is different. Writing?
No, the mezuzah is the same as Shman, Vahayim, Shemaya.
The
letters, there's a million different opinions. There's Savarizal. There's Ksav Beis Yosef, there's Ksav of the Alter Rebbe, there's a lot of different,
right.
They're all kosher,
yes,
but there are different customs and halachas, how the letters and things should be written. So you have Beis Yosef writing,
yeah.
Which is the Sephardic writing, yeah. Basically, then you have the Arizal writing, then you have the Alter Rebbe, and you have a bunch of different, there are many different writings. So you could look at the Parsha, a Sefer, yeah. That knows, yeah. We'll look at the parsha right away and tell you if it was Arizal, Beis Yosef. They know right away. They can look at it. They can tell you what writing it is. Some guys can even tell you which guy wrote them. A lot of people can tell you which sefer wrote these parshas. They can tell, you know, even though to us it looks all the same. But to a sefer, he could look at the different writings and say, this is a different writing than this. And it could be two Arizal, two Beis Yosef. You could tell this is still a different writing. And the mezuzah I showed you, I mean, the tefillin I showed you, is not a nice writing. I don't even know if they're kosher. Mendel said he didn't remember if they're kosher or not. But it's not, I'll show you, it's not a nice writing. Definitely not a beautiful writing. But
if you changing now the color of the mezuzah that was metal to the...
you don't make a bracha.
You just take it out and cover, change the cover, and that's
You don't have to. No, because it's kosher. What do you?
What if you change it for a better one?
No, she's asking if you change the case only.
No, my question.
If you change a mezuzah for a better mezuzah, then you make a bracha because it's a better mezuzah. It's a different mezuzah. If you put up the same mezuzah, you don't. There's also different minhagim, different halachas. Let's say a person took down mezuzah to check.
Yeah,
and they're down a week. Let's say, and you put them back up. Yeah. Many poskim say, even if they're all, no, many poskim say, if it's that long, you make a brach. After a few days, some people say. If it was possible and you changed it, for sure you make a brach. And the new mezuzah. Okay?